Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. How's everybody doing out there? I am doing super duper. On October 3rd, Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast, celebrated its 9th anniversary. So thank you to all of you out there on social media who gave me congratulations. It was pretty exciting to pass that mark. So onward and forward to hit that 10-year mark next year should be fun. How's everyone enjoying the Halloween season so far? We are in October now. I'm a horror fan. I'm a Halloween fan. I enjoy this stuff year-round, but how's everybody else doing out there now that we're within October, within the official month of Halloween? Hopefully everybody's decorating, having a good time, eating lots of good candy, etc., etc. So, all right, let's move on. My guest for this episode is Jordy Day, the director of the documentary Nevermore, The Raven Effect. So let's take a break. And when we come back, I will have that interview with Jordy Day.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilsingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Jordy Day, the writer and director of Nevermore, The Raven Effect, the new documentary about Raven. Jordy, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very good, and I appreciate you sent me a screener link to watch this documentary, and it was fascinating. I love Raven. Always loved Raven. Such a great wrestling personality, character, and everything else. But let's start with the obvious.
How did the idea for this project develop?
You know, I had heard him, Raven, talk on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. I've said this a few times, and I was kind of looking for a documentary to do. And it kind of, when you're looking for a subject for a documentary, you're looking for a few aspects, especially like if it's going to be kind of a biopic. Obviously, a really compelling, interesting story works really well. And then a really interesting POV that's sort of unique to the world that you're tackling, which I think Raven has in spades. He doesn't view wrestling as, I mean, I should phrase it this way. He views wrestling as high art. You know, he treats wrestling with the same seriousness as Shakespeare. He's a method actor. It's like he's like Daniel Day-Lewis. Like he to the point where he actually let the character kind of take over his life in a way, which was very detrimental to his life, which we get into the documentary. And so that I found very compelling, just that he had that kind of high regard for wrestling. I have a lot of respect for wrestling, but I think he has a unique perspective in that what wrestling can be. And he understands that fundamentally wrestling is about storytelling, which maybe can seem kind of obvious from the outside, but I think some people view that differently. Actually, I'd say a lot of people view that differently because a lot of wrestlers are just phenomenal athletes, but they don't necessarily appreciate and understand storytelling on the same level that he does. So I was like, okay, this would be a great like one, like his story's phenomenal, and he just wrestled in every major organization of that era. Two, he has a great perspective and he'll be someone interesting to spend 2 hours with. And the other thing that I thought was kind of fascinating is that his story, his you know tells it tells more than just his story. It tells the story of a pivotal shift in the industry when the Attitude Era got started, and that's really because he was one of the people to generate that shift through his perspective in terms of what wrestling could be. But you could show his career, you know, from Scotty the Body to Raven, and kind of show how wrestling went from kind of being this very family friendly product to it becoming something just kind of insane in hindsight. I don't even know how else to describe it. Just an insane product.
And that's something that I want to touch on is Raven is it's very unique because he is the epitome of that bridge from the territory days to a modern style of wrestling. But he had this very old school mentality about things, right? Where he was respectful.
Absolutely.
He kept up a lot of things. But in your documentary, he really opened up more than I've ever seen him open up as a person in an interview. Did you have to convince him to open up like that? Was he open to that suggestion? Tell me about that process on getting, because he really opened up to his personal life a lot in your documentary.
I think I think he made the conscious decision once he dove in. You know, one thing that's great about Raven is once he's committed to a concept, he's fully committed. So once he had agreed to do the documentary, and we'd had, you know, we talked, we had had a bunch of meetings, kind of talked about what the film would be, what I found, why I thought his story was worth a feature-length documentary, and what he thought would be worth including. At that point, he was fully willing to be emotionally honest and tell a warts and all kind of story. And the doc isn't necessarily always flattering in terms of like who he was in certain periods within his life. And I have to give him credit that he just was willing to go there, and he was fully aware that that's kind of what he was signing up for, and he just wanted the story to be honest.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, right? Because again, like I said, he's done shoot interviews, he's done lots of stuff, but I don't think he's ever opened up like he did with you. And he's very unique. When you talk about wrestling characters, personally, he is a unique wrestler because at the core, he's very old school, right? He's committed, he's protective of his character and his approach. That's how he was trained. That's how he was raised within the business. But he was like we talked about, he was this, it was this odd bridge between the old and the new. And
I know what you're saying.
it's weird because it's like, I don't know with, I mean, he obviously, right, we hear all the stories about Raven and the Mensa, IQ and everything else, and how we all know that. I don't know that there's anybody but Scott Levy who could have fit into this role to bridge the old to the new the way he did.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like that's kind of what I found sort of fascinating. There's a lot of pulling back the curtain these days. But there's, I had, you don't hear wrestlers that often talk about like essentially being like a method actor, like pulling from their own emotional experiences and where the character comes from and trying to bring that pain on screen. It's he wrestling's rarely treated with that level of reverence, really. And it takes a mind, and I don't think he's the only one that does that. He certainly, I think, did it as well as anyone else ever has, probably in terms of creating a three-dimensional character. But it takes a mind as bright as his to be able to convey that. And like a certain, yeah, and a certain like bravery, because I think not everybody wants to open up that way and, talk about their family history and talk about where their emotional pain comes from. But he was more than willing, and it is just, he just is a fascinating guy. Like
Yes.
on paper, he was the exact opposite of who Raven was, like at least optically, in terms of where he was at when he invented that character in a lot of ways. He was a popular jock in high school. He was the man. He was a Marine. He looked like a bodybuilder. And yeah, like he says in the documentary, he's getting all the girls, he's good at sports. That's not like, you don't think of like a character like Raven based out of that, but he had that inside him. He had that pain inside him, and he had the intelligence to really understand what was going on within the culture at the time. And he was able to tap into that. He got like, okay, I see what Nirvana is doing. I see what Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, I see what these guys are up to. And we can tap into this within the wrestling world and create something kind of special here.
And it's almost like he, it's weird because it's almost like he had the wherewithal to know, hey, I'm seeking this acceptance from my father, in particular with him. And I'm getting that acceptance through other things, right? Whether it be women or my friends or now the wrestling business. And it's almost like though he was doing this thing, but yet he was aware of that, which is it's peculiar because you don't see that a lot, and everything else. And one thing that I felt super amazing when watching your documentary is that Raven seemingly kept like all of his memorabilia. I mean, he was pulling up boots and shirts and from very early on. And that was very, very wild. Obviously, that had to be a very helpful aspect to you making this documentary that he had all this stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I don't actually know. I'm not sure how unique that is. It's like sitting in like a base, it's sitting in basement storage. He's not the kind of guy that has like a trophy room with like, he's in many ways, he's kind of moved on. Like he still is involved in the wrestling industry, but in terms of he's not living in the past. He's not living in the glory years. He's not that kind of guy. But he kind of knew he had to go back with us to revisit those things. And now that, he's older and wiser, and he's gone through therapy and he's kind of learned a lot about himself, he's going back with a certain level of clarity that he wouldn't be able to at the time. And that's, like I've done a couple sports documentaries, and it's always more interesting to talk to someone after the fact, to talk to older athletes. Like when athletes are in it, they don't have the perspective necessary to make as emotionally deep a film as we made. And I've seen that with other sports as well. Like it kind of tackled hockey is like when you're like, 10 years removed and you can you have lived some life, you can kind of look at what happened and kind of have that perspective. But when you're in it, it's just too like, you're traveling all year, you're in the midst of it.
Yeah, was Raven, was he uncomfortable at all digging into the past? Because I'm assuming a lot of this is stuff he's not seen or talked about in a while. Did he seem uncomfortable at all bringing this stuff up?
Yeah, some of it for sure. He's talked about this. He has Parkinson's, so he has a tremor in his hand, and when he gets stressed, he that tremor comes out. And there was a couple moments where that would happen. I think there are certain moments in his life that are certainly painful to revisit. He understood why we were doing it for the sake of the film, but I don't think it was easy for him.
Yeah, and he admitted in the documentary, right, that his memory is not the greatest, right? Because multiple reasons. Was that an issue at all for you? I mean, because he does seem very bright and his recall seems pretty good. Did there ever was there ever any moments where that memory thing provided an issue for you as a filmmaker?
No, it's more of like a like probably like more like a short-term memory thing.
Okay.
Like in terms of recollection on the career, he was pretty good. He
Yeah, it
had,
seemed like it. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I didn't experience that. I think, yeah. No, he was pretty good.
It more almost seemed that that self-deprecating part of himself, where he's like, he's always had that aspect, right? Where he, it's almost like he puts himself down a little bit. I don't know where that comes from. And but you touch on, but in the film, right? You there's so many aspects that you show, right? Like in at the
I know
convention,
what you
on the
mean.
road, and everything else. How much filming did you do with Raven? I mean, were you just following him around like constantly?
Yeah, so like kind of two things there. I thought that's very astute of you to kind of notice the self-deprecation thing. That's I think that's just like a sense of humor thing, and like
Yeah.
that is kind of just who he is. And like sometimes you'd kind of ask about something or you'd ask him to elaborate on something, and it's very like, yeah, it was all
Yeah.
right. And
And
I'm
it
like,
makes
no,
you wonder,
you
right?
need to give me more than that.
Yeah, it makes you wonder where that line between Scott Levy and Raven blurs, right? With that self-deprecation. It's that where does the character separate from the man? Which is very
That's
blurred
almost
with
the
him.
thesis of the doc. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Like that's
yeah.
kind of what we play with is where the character. And yeah, you're right. Like I mean, like we could you couldn't really make that film with any other wrestler because I just don't think any other wrestler. I'm sure that I mean, I think that happens with other wrestlers for sure. Like, they start going by the wrestler name and like that line I'm sure gets blurred, but I'm not sure to quite the same extent that it occurred with Raven just because that character was three dimensional, and that was really his ambition was to create a three dimensional character like you'd see in movies within the world of wrestling. And that's not necessarily typically the goal with other wrestlers. So that's what was kind of fun to play with within the movie. And in terms of like how much we shot with him, I mean, we shot for a while. It was like over the course of maybe like 2 years, but like it's not like I was filming him with him all the time, but it was just, like big events. Like there was this scene where he did this indie show that we kind of essentially cut. Like you basically only end up seeing kind of the most interesting stuff or the stuff that really fits within the thesis, so to speak.
Yeah, and with such an intelligent, such a captivating kind of guy, how difficult is it to pick what to put in and what, because you have to cut, right? You have to make time as a filmmaker. How difficult is that? That's almost seems to have to be a Sophie's choice of, oh, do I cut this? And I mean, how much, I guess my point is, what are the gems left on the cutting room floor with Raven? Is there a lot out there?
Yeah, there's a few. Like, there's a few really cool stories. Like, we had like a, and I think we're coming out with like a DVD, and I'm sure like I still have, maybe we can repurpose some of this stuff so that fans can still see it, because there's so much like captivating, interesting stuff. But like, for instance, like we had a section on like the riots in ECW that I was like, oh, this is really interesting, but it just didn't really like fit within the story. Things like that, where I was like, this is incredible stuff. Like, this is like really, really interesting. But just didn't really work within the context of the movie. I'd say like I've been at it a long time, so like I'm pretty good at the whole kill your darlings thing. And I know like once I kind of like have it sort of sorted out, like what the movie is and what the narrative is, I can cut stuff. I can
Sure.
deal with that.
And like you mentioned, and we talked about, right? I don't know if there's ever been, maybe there's a couple examples, but Raven is definitely one of the examples of a performer who has blurred that line between man and character.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
and he's now at this point where it's almost like there is no Scott Levy anymore. It's all Raven.
Yeah.
And you saw that in documentary when you talk about his significant other, talked about it a little bit. It's all Raven now. Even though Raven was Scott Levy was this other guy, right? This jock guy, like you said.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's, bam, he's killed that off, and now he's Scott Levy.
Well, it was like that. I think he's kind of come up the other side of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me about that. So,
Yeah.
because for a long time, right, he was again very protective of Raven. He was fully invested. So tell me about that. He's come out the other side. What sparks that mindset from you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's probably better able to answer this kind of question, but from my understanding, it's kind of like, yeah, he's Scott Levy, frat guy jock that basically, but brilliant guy, and then creates this character of Raven, lets Raven kind of take over his own life in a way, where they're both sort of feeding into each other. But I think through the character of Raven, he may be connected with a lot of emotional pain from childhood. And so he was allowing a character to take over, but I think he was also really exploring himself and who he truly was. So I think that probably took some therapy for him to sort out, like in terms of who the character was and who he really is as a person. But now I think he's Scott Levy. At the end of the day, I think he has sorted that out, like which is the character, which is him. Because, like working with him, he's actually quite a humble, like normal guy. And that was sort of my experience with wrestlers across the board. And I don't really like know. Like it's always tricky to, I mean, like I'm all I know how to do is like really be honest with the film and like in interviews. And so I fell in love with ECW, and I said this in a couple other interviews, but it's true. Like, I fell in love with ECW when I was a kid because I was scared of ECW. Like, I've heard people talk about when NWA came out, like rappers, and they said like I was scared of NWA, and I liked that. Like, I was afraid. Like, I thought that if I met them, they'd like beat me up or something. And I kind of felt like that about ECW. Like, my family was friends with the Hart family. I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, so like I knew that wrestling was like a work, but I thought when I watched ECW that the lines of that were very blurred. Like, I was like, okay, like maybe it's work, but like that was real. Like, he actually beat him up. He actually slashed him with like with a real weapon. Like, how do they fake that? And even if it is a work, these guys are insane. So I was kind of like scared of them all. I was like scared of Tommy Dreamer and Sandman and Raven, and it just looked so violent on TV and so extreme. I mean, it was. And then you meet like Tommy Dreamer, and he's like the nicest guy like ever. He's like a girl dad, like such a good person, like mentors every wrestler. Like, Raven's like that. He watches all these matches, he gives back. Like Diamond, like DDP, I think people know, but DDP is like the coolest, nicest guy. RVD is like, if you need anything, like it was like the nicest group of people I'd ever like worked with on any documentary. So that was sort of surreal. Like, I guess you'd expect, like, I mean, it kind of makes sense that you need to be agreeable and like smart and you need to be easier to work with as a wrestler because they're all like kind of contractors and it's a tough business. But I was pretty blown away by like how just like what great guys a lot of these wrestlers were.
Yeah, and ECW very much had their finger on the pulse of pop culture. Did at any point during this, did Scott Raven say, "Yeah, I sensed where this grunge thing was going. I sensed that this was the thing that was getting ready to boom. So I developed a character for that." Did he ever just forthright and kind of admit, "I developed Raven because of this, where pop culture was going"?
Well, yeah, and you know what, like we tackled the origin story of Raven in the documentary, and funny enough, it was actually DDP that kind of, so I think Raven was into grunge. I don't think it was taking over his identity so much, but DDP was watching the MTV Music Awards and kind of had that eureka moment that, like, we have like rock and roll wrestlers and like the Freebirds, but there's nobody that's really encapsulating this grunge movement or this punk rock thing that's completely taking over the culture. Raven would be good at that. And to Raven's credit, he completely understood that. Created this character and turned it into something very like much more three-dimensional and intelligent than I think anybody could have imagined. He took it to a whole other level.
I agree. And he's always said, maybe it's part of the character, right? That he's not concerned about his place within wrestling history and everything else. But within your documentary, it's a you could feel that he's a bit hurt sometimes that he doesn't get the acknowledgement that maybe he should have. And was it different? Because again, he's not been very open about this side of himself in the past. Did you find it difficult? How much did you have to poke and probe
Yeah, a
to
little
get
bit.
him to admit, "Hey, are you happy with your place in wrestling history?"
Yeah, you're
And
right. And he doesn't like to say that because nobody wants to come across like a, because he's not like an old bitter guy about it. He doesn't want to appear that way. But it does hurt. And this is, like I think like Billy Corgan put it really well. He's like, like this happens in music all the time. There are these bands, like the music industry is like, and art in general is littered with people that came up with like incredibly revolutionary ideas and changed the music industry, but it was really the person that was influenced by them that gets the credit, right? Or blows up to like the next level and gets the credit.
Definitely.
And it's hurtful for the artists that initially came up with it and kind of can see how they did it, but don't want to come across bitter. And like, so like, oh yeah, like if you watch the doc, he never really says that outright, but you get the sense that that is kind of a hurtful thing that, he completely changed the business. He did some of the most interesting, groundbreaking work in wrestling. It essentially led to the birth of the Attitude Era, characters like him and minds like him. And people don't trace it back to him that all that often.
Definitely. Because, like I said, he's very much a bridge from the old to the new. Because he started in the old with the Scotty the Body and the Pacific Northwest and some in Memphis and doing those things. But then when things were changing, he sensed that. Developed this new character, went with it, right? No, and perfected it, right? It was this bridge, and it's right because everybody talks, ECW and oh, Paul Heyman, Paul, and I'm not knocking Paul Heyman, but there's a lot to be said for Scott Levy's part in that,
Oh,
and
1,000%.
while he can say publicly, right, it doesn't bother me, right, or whatever, and I know a lot of guys say that they don't care, but. It has to, knowing how what he went through, the physical ailments that he feels now, it's gotta hurt. And
Yeah.
for whatever reason though, Raven has always been very hesitant to show that side of him, that weakness or that personal pain. He's just always been very protective, and I don't know if that stems back, right? He talks a lot about his father. And I don't know if it stems back all that way, right? Where he's always had this wall up. Did you get that? I don't know, that this denial, this, oh, whatever, is kind of a coping mechanism for him?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with coping mechanisms. Like,
Sure.
you have to, in life, you have to decide which narrative that you're going to latch on to. We all have to do this. I mean, I think that's essentially what therapy is like, they help you carve out a narrative that you can live with. Therapist said that once to me, not my therapist, but a friend that's a therapist.
Yeah.
That's essentially what therapy is. And I was like, yeah. That's right. Like I that makes sense to me. And so, I mean, what good is it to carve out the narrative that you got screwed over and, nobody's giving you the credit you deserve when it's like, there's another way to look at it. You changed the business, you had a phenomenal career, you're respected in the industry, you made a pretty good living. People have done worse. And so I think he's come to a place where he really appreciates the career he did have and what he was able to do for the industry.
Yeah, but let's
Yeah.
take it. Hold on. Let me take this one step further.
Yeah, no worries.
Do you feel that part of him developing this Raven character
Yeah.
was a coping mechanism for him?
Yes.
Yeah, was a way to
Yeah.
deal with his past, this
Yes.
wanting this acceptance from his father. I mean, okay, so expand upon that. Tell me more.
Well, I think that that's often. Like I think it when you're in the arts, you're often drawing from your own emotional experiences and your own pain, and that's often where like very like honest, interesting art comes from. And so he was doing with that with the character, I think not necessarily within his mind to cope or to get in touch with his feelings. I think he was just doing it to create the best character that he could. But I do think it's the result of that. I think like
Definitely.
creating a character that draws from those emotional experiences helped him work out what those emotional experiences actually meant to him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's one reason maybe that Raven worked, right? Because he was able
Yeah.
to tap into that personal side of himself, which is part of
Yeah.
what good art does, right? You have
Yeah.
to tap into your own personal. Do you feel though, as a filmmaker, I mean, because I do, but
Yeah.
do you feel satisfied that you showed those layers of Scott Levy and what he's drawing from? And this pain that maybe inspired the Raven character and what he is. When you look back at what you did, do you feel like, okay, yeah, I'm satisfied that I showed that?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that's definitely the goal, I think. And I think so. I think he's at a place now where, I mean, everybody's gonna have stuff that they're touchy chatting about, as you mentioned. But I think I was just really fortunate that Raven was willing to come on board and be fundamentally as emotionally honest as he was. And you're right, like not all of it was. It's not always easy to go there, but
Yeah.
he went there, and I think it was I think we succeeded, and I think we like succeeded as a team, like me and Raven, in terms of showing where a three-dimensional character like that comes from and the complexities in terms of developing one.
Yeah, I agree, because that's where these questions are coming from, right? From the
Yeah.
right, I'm aware of Raven. I know a lot about Raven, but this is
Right on.
some of my questions are formulated from the documentary
Yeah.
that spurns that. And with the one, I mean, one glaring exception, right, being Stevie Richards, you
Yeah.
got pretty much everybody that's notable within
Yeah.
the development, or at least the prime of Raven's career,
Yeah.
to participate. When you approached most of them, were they super willing to participate in this? Did you have to kind of push it anybody, or was it was it pretty easy to get some of these guys on board?
I think I mean I can't take credit for that. Like, I mean, they're willing to take part in the documentary out of respect for Raven and what he's done for the business. Like, I think that's the reality. It's like they did it for him, and like most of them are friends with him. It is a shame we weren't able to get Stevie Richards. I understand it. I still think that section of the documentary where we sort of tackle the way he treated Stevie, and I think Raven kind of takes accountability that he was probably not the kindest, and kind of he could have handled that differently. And he's the first person to sing Stevie Richards' praises and to acknowledge to sympathize with what he was going through, because he's like, he's basically playing this lackey joke of a character. That's not who he is. He's a smart guy and he's a phenomenal wrestler. And when you're treated that way day in and day out, that would mess with anybody. And
I
Raven
mean,
certainly recognizes that.
is that why? I mean, is that why you think Stevie didn't respond? Is just the, I've closed the door on that. I moved on. I'm in this place. I don't want to revisit
Could be.
a tough period. I mean, because he
I
didn't
don't
respond
know.
to you at all, right? Am I correct in hearing that?
I think he texted me and said wrong number. pretty sure it was his number based on where I got it from. But yeah,
All right.
clearly there's no way he didn't get my messages. I'll say that. Like,
Okay.
I made an every effort to interview him, and I think I respect the fact that he didn't want to take part. It would have been great to have him be a part of the documentary, but he's got a very successful YouTube show now. He's doing a great podcast. I've always been a big fan, so I'm just glad to see that like someone like him that's like is really smart about the business and was a great wrestler is finding that success after his career.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, right? It's his prerogative to participate or not. And so be it. It's okay. It would have been great, right?
It'd be
Because, like
cool,
I said, you had everybody virtually that was instrumental in obvious, except for him. But so tell us a little bit about the release of the documentary. You've done some showings here and there. Tell us, is there what's in the pipes? What's in the works? Tell us a little more. Is there more showings out there, or what can we expect?
Yes, there's more showings coming up. So stay tuned. Obviously, like we have a big Philadelphia showing coming up, which will be really exciting. Obviously, that was like the home of ECW.
You're right, yeah.
We're actually working on an LA screening. We're screening in Baltimore, New Jersey again, all around the US. And looking at a digital release mid-November, where it'll be
Okay.
available on Amazon Prime, Google Play, Vudu. So you'll be able to watch it there.
That was my next question, right? Where that kind of that wider release, that streaming stuff. So yeah, there you go. It sounds like it's already kind of sealed. And I cannot recommend people. I mean, again, Raven's such a fan. And I hope that people won't, even people that are maybe anti-ECW, right? That just think ECW's hardcore, whatever. That's not what this is, right? This is a very much a portrait of a person and a personality. And it's not about the hardcore. It's fascinating, right? Because this, again, like I said earlier, Scott Levy's not a guy who's opened up a lot. He's been very protective of the Raven character. But he
You're
did
right.
very much open up with you. And
Oh
there's
yeah, he
documentary
did too.
of him opening wounds, right? Opening stuff that you could tell were painful things to talk about. So it's fascinating. You can really see where that Raven character developed.
And
I mean, what a great compliment. I mean, totally can tell that you're very knowledgeable about the business and you really got the documentary. So that's great. I really appreciate
yeah.
that.
Well, I mean, I was a huge ECW fan, still am, right? I love ECW.
Yeah, me
Obviously,
too.
Raven's a huge proponent of that. But I do think your documentary does give a lot of weight to why Raven worked, why that commitment worked. He was channeling some stuff, and again, I've watched a lot of interviews with him, and he's not discussed a lot of the things that he discussed with you for the documentary.
Yeah.
So, that's something. So tell me, what's next for you? What's next for Jordy Day? Do you have another project in the works? Anything you can talk about? Is there a chance for any future wrestling projects in your future?
Yeah, I'd love to answer that. Do you mind? Because you asked me, like, hey, where can we see the doc next? And I was a little unprepared. Do you
Yeah.
mind if I read out the dates? Because I was like, you know what? This was a great opportunity to plug.
Yeah,
If you
go
haven't
right
seen,
ahead. Yeah,
okay,
tell us.
so
Tell us some of
the
those dates.
documentary will be playing at the Philomoka in Philadelphia, October 11th and 12th. It'll be at the Emos Theater in Pennsylvania on October 21st. It'll be at the Charles Theater in Baltimore, October 22nd. It'll be at Theater N in Wilmington, Delaware, October 23rd. It'll be at Sunray Cinema in Tampa, Florida, October 23rd. Plaza Theater, Atlanta, Georgia, October 28th. And the Pops Art Theater in Rochester, Minnesota, November 2nd. And
Yeah.
I think there will be an LA screening as well sometime in November.
That'd be wild. That Minnesota screening seems kind of peculiar and all that. That pops in there as kind of stands out. I mean, a lot of Northeast
It's
stuff, Florida there, but then we get a Minnesota. That's great though.
I would venture to guess Minnesota are big wrestling fans because I'm from Canada and
That's
Canadians are huge wrestling fans. Like anytime
yeah.
there's anything wrestling, it like Calgary, Alberta, big wrestling town, kind of famous for it, and you wouldn't
Definitely.
necessarily expect it. So
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I'm in Pensacola, Florida. I'd love a screening. Tampa's a little far for me, but
Okay.
man, I'd love a screening in this area. Even though I've seen it already, I'd love to see
Yeah.
it on the screen.
Yeah, it is better on the big screen, won't lie.
Everything's better on the screen in the theater. I'm a big proponent of going to the theater and watching stuff. So, all right. Well, there you have it. There's the dates. So tell me again, back to circle back. Do you
Yep.
have a next project you're working on? Is there anything you can divulge?
What can I divulge? I just don't have anything like that I'm like can announce is
Okay.
happening. I do like a lot of like commercials and corporate documentaries and
Okay,
like
okay.
branded kind of documentaries.
Sure.
So I
Well,
had a bunch
I
of
assume
those to do.
that's what's paying the bills, right? I
That's
mean,
kind of
that's
how it works.
yeah.
But there is a couple potential features around the corner, and I'm
Good.
hoping one of them we get off the ground. Feeling pretty hopeful about one of them. So excited to announce soon. But yeah, like I mean, there's just always tons on the go, and I'll be able to announce something pretty quick here, hopefully.
Right,
And in
it's
terms of another wrestling documentary,
yeah.
I would love to do another wrestling documentary. I love the world of wrestling. If the right kind of subject came along, like for me, it's just like it all kind of has to make sense in my head that like because it has to be a great story, but
Sure.
I kind of almost feel like I have to be the right person to do it. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
with the Raven
Yeah. Yeah.
doc,
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
okay, like I feel like I'm good at telling these kind of stories. So yes, I would love to do another doc in the wrestling world. It was so much fun, and all the wrestlers were phenomenal to work with,
Yeah.
truly.
And I know maybe this is circling back to me. What sparked the Raven document? Did you say, hey, I want to do this? And you approached Raven?
Yeah.
Did yeah, okay. So how did that happen? I mean, was it just a cold approaching to him? Hey, hi, I do this. I'd love to do that. And I mean, how
Yeah,
does that, yeah.
pretty much. I'm always like, so I've done a lot of documentaries that are for broadcasters or streamers or whatnot, and like that works really well in terms of building financing, especially like as a Canadian production company,
Yeah.
because there's incentives to do that. There's like tax credits
Right.
and
Absolutely. Yeah.
grants and whatnot, and especially like once you have a streamer on board, and but it's Those aren't like those streamers or broadcasters within Canada don't necessarily usually tackle projects like this. Like I did do a biopic on Bob Probert a couple years prior, and we did actually get like a Canadian broadcaster on board, but typically they're dealing with more like social issue kind of documentaries. But I had so much fun doing the Bob Probert documentary and interviewing all these hockey fighters and getting kind of into that world. That I was like, man, I would love to do another documentary like that. And I'd kind of always felt like, so like it did really well. Like it far surpassed how people expected it to do. Largely, I think because, you know, there's like the hockey fans and then there's like the hockey fight fans, which are like more niche, but more intense and like better fans, you know, cult following. And I was like, what is the answer to that? Like within like sports and other worlds. And I was like, well, in the wrestling world, it's like ECW. Like ECW always just had the most diehard kind of fans. And like that was just kind of a thought I had had. And then I had heard Raven on this podcast. I was like, man, he's a really brilliant guy. And so it just made sense to me that I was like, you know, this is like a diehard wrestling fan base within the wrestling fan base. And I think this guy is such a brilliant mind for the business. I would just love to do something with him. So I reached out and I was like, hey, like if you want to chat about maybe doing a documentary, let me know. We talked on the phone and I think he was sort of like skeptical that I could get off the ground. And I was like, no, like we'll just make this thing. Like we can just do it. We can get started right away. And he's like, all right, like I guess we'll see how it goes. And then we just kind of proved that we could. And like I think once you've done a little research and realized that I wasn't just like a crazy person, like I had a bit of a resume and had gotten some projects off the ground, he was a little bit more open to working with me.
It is a great documentary. And
Thank
it's
you.
good. Raven is such a great subject, because again, there's some, if you're an old school fan, right, he has some of that, because he was in the territory. He started in the territories. He was in WWF. He was in WCW. He had this whole thing before Raven, and he still, though, had that mindset, even with Raven a little bit, right? That protect the gimmick, protect the business, be 100% invested, to the point where the lines blur, like we talked about. But if you're a modern fan, you have that as well, right? Because ECW kind of kicked off that modern style, so he had that as well. He again, I will always say that Raven was the wild, weird bridge between the old and the new.
That's exactly who you want to be in art, though. Like it
Yeah,
was so
absolutely.
mind-boggling to me that like he looked at his career as like a failure in any way. Like all my favorite bands are that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, whether it's, you know, in punk rock, like the Ramones or like the Talking Heads. I like love the Talking Heads. Like I love these like bands or artists that like shook up the world. And I didn't care if someone was the biggest act in the world.
Me
Like
neither.
I was like that's like being like rather like you wouldn't rather be the Backstreet Boys than you know than I don't know
And that's
you
what
want
he
to
did, right?
be
He was
you want to be
he,
Nirvana, you want to be like the
yeah.
cool interesting art, not just the biggest art. And so when I was a kid, like I looked at ECW as that. I was like ECW was
Yeah.
so much more interesting than what WWF is doing, and I think a lot of the wrestlers looked at that it that way too. So I hope in hindsight he can appreciate that he was like he was the like he was doing the cool, interesting art that was like
Yeah,
punk rock. And who cares
absolutely.
if it wasn't like who cares if he wasn't WWF champion? It's cooler to be like the revolutionary
Yeah,
artist in
right.
my mind.
Because I love the punk rock thing, because he was totally right. He had the corporate job with WWF, right? He was a writer. He was there. He had, like he mentioned in the documentary, I had health benefits. I had all this stuff, but I wanted to wrestle. So he stepped away from that. From the sure comfort thing, and stepped out and wanted to do something different, because he wanted to do this. That I'm telling you, you know what? Whatever the case may be, that's very punk rock, right? That's a I'm gonna do my thing, whatever, you know. Hell be to it all. I mean, he gave up a very secure position because he wanted to wrestle.
How cool is
Yeah.
that?
It is. It's and not only that, but he made it work. Right, he made it work.
He was willing to risk it all. And I
Yeah,
loved it.
Yeah, and he talks about right some disappointments and this and that and whatever, but that's an artist, right? There's always the what ifs. And
I know, I get it.
yeah, whether you're a filmmaker, whether you're a musician, whether you're a wrestler, it's this this is a people story that really
Yeah.
crosses over a lot of genres,
And you
and
know,
it's applicable.
I can relate, you know, like I'm not like a Hollywood film director. Sometimes I have friends that like kind of blow up and like are doing big things, and you can't help but compare sometimes, but like all you can do is do like the coolest, most interesting work that you can. And
Sure.
like from an objective point of view, I just, yeah, I think what he did for the business and what he did as an artist was just so interesting. And that just than being the mainstream. So, yeah.
Well, I will say, no matter what, I do agree with him. I don't think he gets quite enough accolades for what he
Right.
meant to the business,
Yeah, me neither.
the bridge he was, and I do think, you know, it would be nice to maybe see him out there a little more, acknowledged, but maybe it won't happen. That's okay. I hope he appreciates that. There's a lot of fans that are very
Yeah.
appreciative of what he
Yeah,
did. And
you know,
I
I
hope he
mean,
can. I hope he's content in that, and at this point in his life. But again, it's a great documentary, a great
thank you.
subject. I think again, you really got him to open up more than I'd ever seen.
Appreciate
You know,
that.
there were some wounds, there were some sore spots that he's talked about that I've not seen him dive as deep. And I think he did a great job. I hope people will check it out if they're close to one of those screenings you mentioned earlier. Hopefully they'll go see it. If not, hopefully they're watching later in the fall for the streaming, and you know, the video on demand stuff, and they'll buy it. Like I said, you know, I got to see it thanks to you. But I'm looking forward to I'd like to watch it again.
Right
And
on.
it will definitely be something that I think I'll purchase because I want it in my digital library, to be
Appreciate
able to.
that. And hopefully, if you're near a city, like I know, like people don't think of like, but I think with documentary, a lot of time people are like, oh, I'll wait to see it at home. But this is a fun theater movie. Like,
It is,
and
yeah.
I'm not just saying that, like, it plays like a rock concert. It's like rock music start to finish. He's a punk rock. Well, he doesn't like me saying that. He says he's grunge. But like, I view his story as a punk rock story. So like
Yes.
I view this is a punk rock story. It's like it's rock music, it's loud, it's fast, it's like fun stories, and I think it's fun to see in a crowd. So if you have
It
the
is.
opportunity to check it out, I hope you do watch it that way.
I will always. I like punk. I like grunge. I will always say grunge is it's punk. It's just the
Well, I mean,
next.
Kurt
It's
Cobain
just
said they were a punk
Ed.
band, so I don't
I
see why I
mean,
can't.
no. I mean, come on. If you listen to Nirvana, I mean, early Nirvana it's just Flipper. I mean,
Yeah. It
it's
totally is.
punk
I
rock.
think of them as a punk rock band myself.
And me too. It is. Grunge is just it's like new wave. It's the commercial
Yeah.
aspect of punk. And
Yes.
I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just saying,
No, for
grunge
sure.
is just the growth of punk. But yeah, so it's been a lot of fun talking to you. I hope people will go out and see this. I wrestling fans are suckers for this kind of stuff, right? They love
Yeah.
documentaries, they love biographies, and everything
Yeah,
else.
because they're smart. Wrestling fans are
Absolutely,
fucking
they
smart.
are
That's why it's intimidating.
contrary to what people. I thank you.
That's
Contrary to
why
what people
it's
say.
scary. Oh, I know. Well, that's what made the documentary exciting. Because I was like, this is a smart guy who's smart about wrestling. Wrestling fans are smart. They're gonna get this. Like, I made it for wrestling fans. And
Definitely.
it's intimidating making stuff for wrestling fans because they're smart and they are tough audiences. But I think they will appreciate a film like this.
I
That
agree. I
respects their
agree.
intelligence.
I agree. I've watched a lot of stuff. I've read a lot of biography. I mean, again, I have decades under my belt of being a wrestling fan. I'm an old guy. And it was great. It's right. You
Thank you.
hear stories, you hear things, but I think you uncovered some things and got a side of Raven and Scott Levy that we haven't seen before. Again, I was fascinated by that. I wish we could see more of this his memorabilia, because I'm that kind of guy, right? I love where he was pulling out the Scott
I
Levy
know
or
it's
the
fun.
Scotty the Body boots and the Scotty the Body
Yeah.
T-shirt and stuff like that. I could watch hours of just him pulling stuff out of those totes. Yeah, it was great stuff. And again, even if you're not a wrestling fan, I think this is a good watch. I think you'll appreciate it. Because
Thank you.
I really think, more than wrestling, it's a story about a person. And I think there's a lot there. So again, thank you for making this. I'm a big fan. Thank you for coming on, talking to me. Hopefully people will check this out if they have a showing, and when it hits streaming, when it gets to that point, I hope to share that and let people know it and everything else. In conclusion, let's wind this down. If someone is interested, right, they watch your documentary, they like what you're doing, or they've heard this, they like what you're saying. What's a way they can follow you to keep track of things you're working on and your professional life?
Yeah, totally. I'm on Instagram. My handle is, I'm actually just double checking.
It's like a phone number, right? You don't know because
Yeah,
you
because I'm
need
just on
it.
it. I'm on Instagram and pretty active. You can follow me at night school one word underscore films. And I'm always posting what we're up to on there, pretty
All
much.
right. There you go. So give him a follow. Keep track. Hopefully, I do hope you dive into the world of wrestling again in the future. I would love to see you do something else. But
Thank
whatever it
you.
is, and again, knowing that you got that little that punk rock side, I wouldn't mind seeing you dive into something punk rock, right? Diving into
Yeah,
something in
that'd
that
be
aspect
cool,
too.
right?
I would love that. I'd love to see that side too, because I'm a punk fan, so I would
There
love
you
to see
go.
that. But bravo, well done on
Thank
this
you.
documentary. I can't plug it enough, right? I wouldn't have had John if I didn't like
I
the
appreciate
product.
it. Thank you.
Thank you again for coming on it. Give me the time. Everybody go follow. Watch it when it gets hits streaming or video on demand. Jordy, thank you for your time, and hopefully we can touch base maybe in the future if another project pops up.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills, the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to Jordy for coming on and talking all about the making of that documentary and everything that went into it. Guys, if you get a chance, it's going to be hitting a video on demand very, very soon. It's going to be on Amazon Prime very soon. Watch it. It's a great, if you're a wrestling fan, a historical wrestling fan, which I assume you are since you're listening to this podcast, give it a watch. You don't have to be an ECW fan. You don't have to like that style of wrestling to enjoy this documentary and this human interest story. So give it a watch. Also, be sure you follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much all the platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty, and you can find me on them. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube. I have lots of classic wrestling content out there, plus all my various podcasts. Also, go check out all of the WrestleCopia Network podcasts. You can find all the individual podcasts on your favorite platform, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. And also, while you're out there, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account
and then download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your devices. All right, guys, super important that you do follow me on social media so that you can hear when I announce next episode's guest. It's still in flux, and it will be announced on social media, so make sure you follow me there. So until next episode, guys, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia, talking about Dave Dynasty, Bruiser Voice, done by John Lawson.